Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And just fair warning, the last couple of times I preached have been short. I'm making up the time today. So, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We're in a series on the Holy Spirit. And I want today to point us to the reality of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The reality of following Jesus. When it comes to following Jesus, God makes it clear. God actually makes it simple in principle. But hear this, following Jesus is not easy. It is a battle. It is a war. If you are a child of the King of the universe, then you are in this battle. And hear the call of God through Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Look at it with me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That by testing you may discern, or by testing you may prove, that is, with a mind that is being renewed, you are testing. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the laws of God in you. You have the Word of God becoming part of you. You have the mind of Christ becoming your reality. And you are testing what you are told. You are testing what you believe. You are testing what you are experiencing. And you are able to prove it out. You are able to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect. You are able to discern what is the will of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. If you are God's child, then this is happening to you. It is undeniable, unmistakable, and it is real. Turn to Matthew 16, back to the scripture reading. If we are to be Holy Spirit-led followers of Jesus, then our minds must be transformed. If we are to be Holy Spirit-led followers of Jesus, then our minds must be set on God and not on this world. Peter is a big part of what is going on in this passage. Jesus had asked his disciples who they believed him to be. And Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, "Peter, you are blessed because God has revealed this to you." And he went on to tell Peter he would be the rock that God would build his church upon, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That's where we pick this up in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter goes from this spiritual and emotional high. Jesus says, "You are blessed that God has allowed you to know Christ. Peter, you are blessed, and you are the rock I will build my church on." And just a few moments later, Jesus is telling Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Peter had taken his mindset off of God and put it on man. In Romans 8, we see that our minds are to be on the Spirit. Our minds are to be on the things of the Spirit. Our minds are to be on the things above because that's where Christ is. Our minds are to be on God. Our minds are not to be on earthly things. Our minds are not to be on the things of man. Listen now. To have our mindset on man is to be an advocate for Satan and a hindrance to God's plans and purposes. Okay, let's not lose the flow and context of what God is saying here. We are in the context of mindset. Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is not on God, but on the things of man. Then tell me, Lord, because I want to know. Make it clear to me. How do I come after you? What does a mindset on God look like? Verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If truth is what you seek, then this is the compass that points the way. This truth, brothers and sisters, is 180 degrees from the lies and the deceptions in this world. If you want to get healthy in your mind and in your heart, if you want to get healthy in your walk with God, if you want to go hard after following the leading of the Holy Spirit, then in everything you do, in every decision you make, in every circumstance of life and godliness, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. These are the actions of a person with a mind that is being transformed. These are the actions of a person with a mind that is set on God. And these are the actions of a person in a Holy Spirit-led walk with Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you make your word real to us. Father, that this is not something we're just going to look at this morning and we're going to go, yes, that sounds good. But Father, this is something that transforms us, Father, and that we actually live these things to your glory. So I pray that through your Spirit you do a mighty work in us today, Father. I plead with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. This week I want to focus on denying ourselves, and the title of the message is A Mindset of Self-Denial. We've talked about salvation. By now we should know, understand, and believe the holiness and the justice of God. We should understand, know, and believe that we have God's grace and mercy and love, and it's found in faith in Christ. We've seen the reality of assurance for God's people. We are sealed by God. We are God's children forever, and our destiny is glory. We need to hold on to these truths with white knuckles, but we need to move on and follow our Lord. And denying ourselves is foundational to discerning and knowing the will of God in our lives. Denying ourselves is foundational to following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation in Christ, and denying ourselves, having an outward focus, is to be our new way of life. As new creation in Christ, we must filter everything through denying self. Even taking up our crosses daily comes from denying. Denying ourselves, suffering for God and each other, is an outward focus. Okay, here's the reality of denying ourselves. Simple truth. If our mind is set on the things of God, then we will be denying ourselves. This is a simple truth, but it can be hard because it is a battle. First, let me say, at the end of this message, please walk away thinking about this. Losing our lives is to gain Christ. Losing our lives is to gain life in Christ. Denying ourselves is not a negative. Denying ourselves is not a negative. Denying ourselves is where peace and joy is found. Denying ourselves is how we ultimately bring glory to God. And that reality is why there is such a battle to deny ourselves. Turn to Ephesians 6. Do we believe that denying ourselves is not a negative? I mean, really believe it, so that we are living it, so that we are experiencing the joy and peace of God, so that we are bringing glory to Him. denying ourselves is a battle. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a war going on. And this war is not a battle for our souls. This war is not a battle for our destiny. The blood of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior has already given us that victory. So then what are we battling against? What is it that Satan hopes to accomplish when he knows he's lost the war? He knows that the blood of Christ and the resurrection have defeated him. That is why Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And that is why we are able to say, "O death, where is thy sting?" So what is it we battle Satan for? We battle him for our mindset. We battle him for what we believe. Listen now, what we really, really believe is what we live. What we really, really believe is what we act on. And what we really believe is what we do. And who we really, really believe is who we obey and follow. Our battles, brothers and sisters, is one of faith. And our battle is tied directly to what degree we will enjoy God. Our battle is tied directly to what degree we will bring glory to God. This is the only thing left for Satan to battle against us with. And that's why he fights very, very hard. For believers, the only way we can ultimately lose this fight for belief is to be deceived. The only way we can ultimately lose this fight to believe is to be tempted and not believe God. So I want you to remember this about denying ourselves. We are in a battle. We are at war. Let me tell you what the battle is. The battle is for the focus of our minds. Remember what Romans 8 told us about being led by the Holy Spirit? Romans 8 tells us to set our mind on things of the Spirit and the Spirit himself. That a mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, but a mindset on the flesh, is hostile to God. Hostile to God. Those are warfare terms. Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is set on man and not on God. Listen, the battle is for the focus of our minds because the focus of our minds affects the conditions of our hearts. Let's look at some about the battle here. Turn to Romans 12. Back to Romans 12. The major battlefield for our mindset is between having our mindset on the things of the world or the things of God. It's that simple. While you're getting to Romans, I'll read 1 Peter. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Romans 12:1, we read this earlier, let's look at it again. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. We need separation from this world. Let me be as clear as I can about this, though. God was separate, but he walked among sinners. Jesus dined and drank with sinners. Jesus taught sinners. Jesus saved sinners. And Jesus saved this sinner out of this world. We need to be separate from the world, separate in our thinking and separate in our actions, but we are to be in the world with the gospel. We are to be in the world with the love of Christ. Let's look at what draws us into the deception of the world. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at the weapons of warfare that is being used by our adversary. They are no different than those that he used in the garden when he deceived Eve. And both Adam and Eve lost the battle in their minds. When they set their minds on the things of the world rather than God, and they did not deny themselves, and they sinned. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these brothers and sisters are what draw on us. They scream out to us. They promise us life and peace, but they bring death and emptiness. This is where we must make war. This is where we must battle to deny ourselves. And this is the battle if we lose. This is the battle we will lose if we have our minds set on the things of the earth. This is a battle we will lose if we are not being led by the Holy Spirit, but are being led by the flesh. This is a battle we will win if we have our minds set on Christ. This is a battle we will win if we are being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And that takes faith, brothers and sisters. Faith. But faith in what? Faith in what? Turn to Romans 6. Faith in what? Is it faith in ourselves? Is it faith in our ability to follow rules and regulations? Is it faith in human strength to say no to the flesh? God forbid we believe anything of the sort. Remember, I said our battle is to believe. This, brothers and sisters, is what we are to believe. Romans 6, 6 through 14. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. If you die, then you are set free from sin. And we died with Christ and are alive with him. Oh, get this, brothers and sisters. Sin no longer has dominion over us because we are dead with Christ. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. So what then? Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus set us free from sin. The death, burial, and resurrection set us free to set our minds on the Spirit. The death, burial, and resurrection set us free to deny ourselves and live for God. It takes faith in Christ. It takes faith in Christ. The battle is to believe what we have in Him. We have freedom. We have grace. The war is real, brothers and sisters. The battle for our mindset is real. Remember that a mind that is set on God is a mind that is being renewed. A mind that is set on God is being transformed to the mind of Christ. And a mind that is set on God is a mind that is denying self. Turn to Colossians 3. There are two important truths that are keys to the victory, so we can begin the sermon. That was all preparatory. There are two important truths that are keys to the victory of denying ourselves. There are two truths of a godly mindset and a godly heart condition. And our keys are a ways into this passage, but I want to read this whole passage from the beginning because it's all regarding what we're talking about. Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, this is the word of God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Let's pause here. What a place to be when we're at war. We are dead and raised with Christ. We are hid with Christ. We are hid with Christ. What a place to be. Let's go to battle. Verse 8, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Did you notice the selfish nature of the things we are to put to death? Verse 7. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So we've put these things off in verses 7, 8, and 9, and now there is room. And where that room is, they're to be filled with these things now. Verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And our two keys to victory of a mindset are coming. We'll read the rest of this passage. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So let's start with key number one. As I said, there's two. Look back at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, 31 and 32 says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If we are going to deny ourselves and follow Jesus, then we must abide in the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be a part of us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't have time to go to all these passages, but I want you to listen to a couple as you're finding your way there. We know faith comes from hearing the Word of Christ, because Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We also know that the Word is truth, because John 17:17 says, Jesus praying to the Father, sanctify them in truth. Your Word is truth. Brothers and sisters, power comes from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, this is Paul. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that changes people. It is not the wisdom of man. Listen, we must abide in God's Word, and God's Word must abide in us. This is our mindset. It is the Word of Christ. Truth. Power, faith, and the revealed will of God are all found in His Word. When the Word is such a part of us that it becomes ingrained in our very being, when the Word is such a part of us that it becomes embedded in us and is abiding in us, that is when we will be denying ourselves. That is when our minds will be set on God, and that is when we will be following Jesus and glorifying the Father. Where is our mindset? What are you following? What are you allowing into your minds? What are we allowing into our minds? What is our mind set on? Is it set on the Word of God? Is it set on Christ? Or is it focused on worry, or wealth, or jobs, or children, or Facebook and popularity, or politics? If it is focused, if it is set on anything but Christ, it is ultimately focused on ourselves. We need to get our mind off of these things and on God. If we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, then we must be in His Word, and His Word must become part of us. A mind filled with God's Word is a mind set on Christ. And a mind set on Christ is a mind that is denying itself. Find your way back to Colossians 3. And let me just say this. Most of the things I listed are not bad in and of themselves. However, they become our enemy in the war if they take our mindset off of Christ. Period. Do not be deceived. That was key number one. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We're going to look for key number two. Colossians 3, 14 through 15. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Key number two, if we're going to deny ourselves, Christ must rule in our hearts. And He does it with love. Just as much as we must abide in God's Word, Christ must rule in our hearts. We must abide in love, and love must abide in us. We need to be careful what our mind is on. Because what goes through our minds, brothers and sisters, affects our hearts. We need to set our minds on Christ, and then our hearts will be well. understand this about our hearts. Motive and obedience come from love. We need to be loving, which is denying from our hearts. Let's look at this. Turn to 1 John 4:13-16. We need to deny ourselves in our minds, and we need to deny ourselves in our hearts, and we need to deny ourselves in our actions. And the motive for all of this comes from love. 1 John 4:13. But you know what? Let's look at the standard of love being spoken here first. So let's go up to 10 and 11, just above 13. Here's a standard of love. I think we looked at this 2 weeks ago. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Do you see the standard of love? God loved us and He sent His Son to be tortured. God loved us and sent His Son to die for us. God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is the standard. Ultimate sacrifice. Complete and total denial of self. Perfect love. Now let's see that this ultimate sacrifice is our motivation to love. 1 John 4:13-19. By this we know we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Verse 19. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. We love God, we love each other, we love the lost, we love our enemies. We love because God first loved us. It's the only way it can happen. We deny ourselves from the hearts because God first loved us. This is our motivation. We actively deny ourselves and obey Christ. We actively deny ourselves and put others first. We actively deny ourselves. We love because He first loved us. In the battle for our mindset, in the battle for our condition of our hearts, the two keys to denying ourselves are we need to abide in the Word of God, and we must abide in love. I focused on mind and heart denials. We could have looked at denials of self and actions too, like feeding the hungry, going to Liberia, housing the homeless, witnessing to the lost. But I have to tell you, these will all fall into place if we have our mind set on God and a heart filled with Christ. Turn to Philippians 4. I know I've had you all over the place. These will be the last two passages and then we'll be done. Philippians 4. I'm falling in love with these always passages. Starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I really am falling in love with these always passages. rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't hear it the first time, I say rejoice. If we deny ourselves and lose our life, then we gain life in Christ. A mindset on God is a heart full of Christ, full of the Word of Christ, full of the love of Christ, full of the Spirit of Christ, full of the peace of Christ. A heart that rejoices always is a heart that prays. A heart that rejoices always is a heart that is thankful. A heart that rejoices always is a heart that is guarded by the peace of God. A heart that rejoices always comes from a mind that is set on God and is a heart that is full of the love of Christ and is denying self for the glory of God. Find your way to James 4, and we'll finish there. But before we close with James, I want to get a little practical here. One of the hardest denials of self is the reality of forgiving others who have hurt us. Listen to our passage back in Colossians. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. We read this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Forgive? Yeah, but you don't know what this person did to me. You don't know what this person did to my family. We've all been there. And this is the point. And I tell you with all the love that's in me, we need the truth. We need to start knowing and believing and living the truth. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. If you are a child of God, then you were God's enemy. And you were hostile to God, and He died so that you may be forgiven. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But by abiding in His Word, and abiding in His love, by His power and for His glory, believe God, deny yourself, and forgive. And experience the joy that comes from forgiving. Listen now, Satan doesn't want your mindset on God. Because a mindset on God delivers to us a heart full of Christ. And a heart full of Christ is all about denying ourselves. And when we deny ourselves and follow Jesus, we are living a life glorifying God. Okay, last passage and we're done. James 4. James 4, 4 through 10. This is the Word of God. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I'm starting to get the joy and thanksgiving passages. But now we have mourn and weep. What is that? And I think about my life and the things I still hold on to. The things I haven't given to God. The times I don't deny myself. And I have tasted the love of Christ and I want more. I desire more of Christ and less of me. And I pray for my Father to take my pride and to take my selfishness and to take my lust, because I can bring nothing to him except the love I have for him in Christ. Take everything I have and everything I am. All I want is you. Let's pray together. Father, we weep and mourn that we neglect you, that we prioritize worldly things above you, that our minds are set on things they shouldn't be, Father. Help us to correct that, Lord. I pray that through your word and your spirit today that our lives are transformed and our image is more like Christ, that our minds are more like Christ, and that we are denying ourselves actively, Father, that it is real to us. It is a real way of life. I pray that you do that in us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.